Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up? It's your boy, The Ben Smith. Thanks for listening to the Men's Room Daily Podcast. Want more? Check out the greatest podcast in all the land, The Podcast. Be sure to subscribe and listen to a brand new episode every Tuesday night.
Somebody out there deserves to be recognized. And the men's room knows just who it is. So to you, we say, bottoms up, sailor. You're the toast of our shot of the day.
Drink time it is, and as usual, we head to the drink desk and Steve a Thrill Hill to find out who we're toasting.
Just a quick comment first. You brought up that, BuzzFeed is now going to, put their logo branding on sex toys. It says, I just got a BuzzFeed notification on my phone when you were talking about the BuzzFeed sex toys. Ironically, my phone vibrated while it was sitting on my lap.
It's listening.
They're one step ahead of you. All right. Here is today's shot of the day. Today we toast 32-year-old Tommy Pulhofer of London, England. Now, Tommy's what you might call a career criminal. He has a long history of petty crimes, and he's well known to authorities. He's never done anything too extreme. But that said, even petty criminals, they can piss off the wrong people. In this case, we do not know what he did. We do not know who he pissed off. But their response to him was to deliberately run him over with the car. So as you'd imagine, he's injured. He's rushed to King's College Hospital. And the first thing doctors did, obviously, was x-ray Tommy for any broken bones, other internal injuries. But doctors were stunned by what the x-rays revealed. It wasn't the extent of his injuries that stunned them. It was that Tommy had a cell phone hidden in his rectum. Now, not being able to come up with a legally plausible explanation for a phone hidden in one's butt, doctors concluded the phone was stolen. They called police. Police arrived. They recognized Tommy. They knew his name. He was not happy when he saw them. They confronted him in the hotel room. First, he began berating them. Then he attempted to scratch one of the police officers, which he did. He bit one of the hospital attendants. He then pulled the tubes out of his arm and sprayed blood all over the hospital room, screaming, I have HIV. I hope you get it, too. Side note, good news, he does not have HIV. He gave it to no one. But after all of that, he finally admitted that the phone in his butt was, in fact, stolen. Officers point out they have not been able to track down the owner. Frankly, if it were my phone and they called and they say we found it in the lad's bum, I'd be like, I don't need it that bad.
Maybe you'll accidentally butt dial him.
Yeah. So, let's drink to Tommy. We pour this booze and we drink this booze because we think it's yummy.
Yummy!
So over the tongue and down the throat to party in our tummies. Down the hola, bitola!
The Men's Room presents Profile This.
Hey, Stephen Thrill Hill, could you please tell everyone how Profile This is played?
I sure can, Miles. It's a simple game where we share with you a real-life news story, something that happened right here on planet Earth. And as you listen to the story, based on the stereotypes you believe to be true of people and the decisions that people make, we'll ask you what it is you think makes the story a story. Hello, Justin. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, gentlemen.
Hola. All right, Justin, you understand how this here game is played?
Sure do.
Fantastic. Then you already know that you have a choice of one of three stories. We have the wonderful world of drugs. We have bite me. In other words, what did someone find in their food? And finally, interior decorating, where you guess the foreign object that ended up on the inside of someone.
You know, just because I'm excited about Thanksgiving and that good old butthole bread, I would love to do interior decorating.
Oh! Somebody points out our shot of the day. That's a true booty call. All right, here's your story. Miles, we go to Morgantown, West Virginia.
No.
Yes, we do, where a man has been charged after deputies performed a strip search and said they found a little something in his rectum following a multi-vehicle accident. Now, deputies with the Monongahela County Sheriff's Department, they were dispatched to mile marker 10 off Interstate 68 for a multiple vehicle accident. When deputies arrived on the scene, they saw two cars wedged against one another on the Cheat Lake Bridge. Any idea where that is?
That's the one I jumped off of.
That is the one? Mm-hmm. Okay, this is where that happened. And apparently, a Chevy HHR having pinned another vehicle against the side of the bridge. Now, in one of the vehicles, deputies observed a large backpack sitting on the passenger seat with, quote, black wrapping sticking out of it, sometimes consistent with drug packaging. Well, a witness at the scene told deputies that the vehicle, driven by Trayvon Carr, was traveling at speeds in excess of 100 miles an hour, and that the vehicle had been swerving in and out of traffic. I was shocked as well, Mike. Now, deputy spoke with Carr, who said, all right, he was in the back of the ambulance at this point. He had the odor of marijuana emanating from him, and his eyes were bloodshot and glassy. His speech was slurred. He was stoned. Well, he told deputies he'd smoked some weed earlier that day, and that he had a small amount of marijuana in the vehicle. At that point, deputies gave Carr a field sobriety test. I hope you're sitting down. He failed. Now, deputies placed him into custody, then performed a search, during which deputies said they found several cell phones, over $1,600 in cash. He also told deputies what his travel plans were and the timeline of events. It just didn't make sense, so that's when they took him and gave him the strip search. Well, at that point, they discovered a little something hidden in the rectum. And the question is, what do you think Trayvon had in the rectum? Was it drugs? A cell phone? Cash or a pistol? So drugs, cell phone, cash, or a pistol. One of these was where the sun don't shine.
Well, dear, it could be two cell phone stories in a row.
Well, he did have seven other cell phones in his car with him. So
Several. Yeah, I know.
So it makes me wonder why he took that one specially and stuck it there.
He had drugs in the car. He had cell phones in the car. He had cash in the car. They did not find a pistol in the car, but they potentially may have found it where the sun don't shine.
I don't know. I think Justin, the guy, had more drugs. Anything else, even if you had I'm still just perplexed that people can put a gun up there. So I always just take that one out of the equation. Not that that's right, but it just
earlier
seems
this week, I want to say a guy
impossible,
did.
Yeah, with a condom. I think he had more drugs. That's what I think, Justin. Because he had cell phones already with him. If you need to get gas or something, it's an awkward transaction at the counter, if that's where your cash is.
So you don't have a wallet, what else are you going to do?
It's in there.
Putting it in your sock is just gross.
Yeah. It's a prison wall.
It's everywhere you want to be. Justin, what are you thinking here?
You know, I'm thinking right up that drug train there. Yeah, that kind of was where I'm headed on that.
So you think he had more drugs?
Yes, sir.
Okay. We're going to find out what he had in his rectum. More drugs, more cell phones, cash, or a pistol next.
That was a tease. Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Back to the conversation. This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. 99.9 KISW.
All right. Profile this today. Our contestant, Justin, he picked the topic interior decorating. As we have a West Virginia man right there where I grew up. Got into a car accident on the Cheat Lake Bridge, and basically
right where you grew up.
He had a backpack, had plenty of drugs in it, and he had cell phones and everything else. But either way, I guess the officers were suspicious, so they ended up doing a strip search on this guy, and he did have something in his rectum. The question
yes,
is,
did.
What did he have in there? Drugs, a cell phone, cash, or a pistol?
Justin, that is what we asked you. Now, Miles, you have a general philosophy about how you go through this, and look, probably not cash. Because if you go to the store, no one's going to be cool with that, right? Mm-hmm. The gun, even though we had someone earlier this week who stuffed the gun up there, you just cannot reconcile this in your brain, which I think is very, very fair. Cell phone, why would you hide a cell phone in your butt, even our side of the day? So, nevertheless, you went with drugs. And, Justin, you agreed. And let's face it, Miles is wrong most of the time. But not today, friend.
There you go, Justin. Nice work.
West Virginia.
There you go. I know your hometown.
I need more drugs. I stick them in my butt. God, I just, yeah.
Now for all TV news all the time, it's time for TV Time with Tim.
And now, because your pathetic life is confined to countless hours in front of a talking box.
I'm again.
The Men's Room presents TV Time with Ted.
Ah!
Hey, you're not Ted.
I'm not Ted at all.
Wow.
So usually we'd come out here and we'd have ourselves some hilarity and late night jokes. As you guys will recall, I was Ted's head writer there for a while. Well, he fired me quite a while back, so we don't have any late
jokes
today.
Things were tense. Things were tense.
They were, man. We had a falling out there for a minute there. There was lawyers got involved. It was not the best time in my life.
They didn't like your political humor, Mike.
They really didn't. Yeah. No, so we're just going to go ahead and move on. So.
Okay.
Moving on to happier subjects. We are deep within the football season, but the football season eventually does have to come to a sour end, unfortunately. However, it comes to actually a very, very good end in the show known as the Super Bowl. But there is always one question that surrounds the Super Bowl. No, it is not who is actually going to play in there, but who is going to perform the halftime show. Well, I am pleased to announce to you guys that it has been finally announced.
Wait. Is it just me? As a football fan, all right? And I know, oh God, I don't know, because for the last 25, 30 years, the halftime entertainment seems to have become equally as important as the game.
It really has.
I have never cared. I mean, I know it's like, it's big news, people get excited about it, but I just, when we went to the Super Bowl, Miles and I physically went, you know, to the, it's Beyonce, who's one of the biggest megastars on this planet. Did not give a rat's pink out.
Right.
I did not care. And
he got real excited during the Destiny Child reunion.
Oh, nothing like it. All I remember, we went
he's
in. And
lying
again,
to you.
It's Beyonce. We know she's huge.
Right.
This is the Super Bowl. It's in like everything about it.
We could see her butt from 500 yards away.
We didn't care.
Right.
I mean, we just, you know, I can't explain it. I'm sure. I don't even remember her performance other than at one point.
I do. It blew the power in the Superdome.
Oh, that's right. Mm-hmm.
We had to wait for 25, 30 minutes for them to get enough energy to turn it back on so we could they could continue the game because they, not only that, but they had so much pyrotechnics in there that
it's
Superdome doesn't
right.
exactly ventilate very
yeah.
well.
Yeah.
It's an older stadium, or Mercedes-Benz Stadium, whatever they're calling it now. And it took
Mercedes-Benz Superdome.
Even when, after the half an hour delay, even after they got the power restored, even after the lights were bright enough to play, at the beginning of the second half kickoff, you could not barely see the field because
the smoke
still hadn't dissipated.
No ventilation whatsoever.
It's a dome!
It's an old dome in the middle of New Orleans.
Anyway,
yeah.
So what's
the halftime?
I'm with you. I watched Katy Perry ride out on a giant metallic lion, and I couldn't get
right.
I was like, no, that's kind of cool.
But what's amazing, whoever you're about to announce, you know, some people celebrate it, but there'll be a group of people that get really angry. And it's like, why do you care?
Right.
There
have been some good stuff. There has.
Sure.
I mean, look, Prince put on a hell of probably the best halftime show in my mind based on what I like.
Absolutely.
In my you can't deny Bruno Mars.
Right.
He always goes out there and
kills it.
I mean, look, you're hiring professional entertainers. I expect them to put on a good mm-hmm. show. Whether you
right.
like their meat, like, I don't like Taylor Swift. My daughter saw Taylor Swift, thought it was great. I'm like, it should have been great because she's one of the top stars.
Exactly.
But golly,
I look with mild interest as to who they're going to announce, and then I'm always just completely indifferent after it's been announced. I don't know that I've ever actually had a halftime show in my lifetime that has been announced that I've been just jazzed
ooh,
up.
Ooh, I gotta see that.
Exactly. Yeah. And this year is absolutely no different. They went clever with it because, you know, Super Bowl's always on Sunday, so what better thing to have on a weekend but the weekend?
Of course, it's the weekend every year.
Exactly.
It's a Sunday.
It is
it's
indeed.
The first Sunday of February.
So he's our...
Yes.
I mean, yeah. Good. You know, and I know he's a top-notch performer.
Oh, yeah.
Great.
In Tampa Bay.
Don't they normally have one or two, though? Maybe they announce
well,
and they stay.
No, you announce
yes.
one.
It doesn't seem, yeah,
and
right.
then you have surprise
didn't the Chili Peppers get announced first, and then you know, play with somebody else? And don't they always have
three, two, I think, three? Didn't the Chili Peppers show up?
I think the Chili Peppers showed up.
Okay.
Right.
So, yeah.
Because like the one that I can remember that was a while back was it was the Black Eyed Peas were going to be the big performers. Then out of nowhere, Slash rose from in the middle of the
right,
stage.
Oh, right.
Which
okay.
was funny because he
right.
was like here the day prior.
Mm-hmm.
So he got done with a concert here and flew his ass wherever that Super Bowl was being done. So, yeah, there you go.
Mm-hmm. I mean, good. And
yeehaw.
Be prepared to not feel your face before the weekend is coming.
I know what I'm doing at halftime. I'm reloading.
I'm smoking a cigarette. I'm hitting a joint
get
again.
Get my drink ready to go. I'm probably using the bathroom.
And in the background, there'll be the weekend.
I'm grazing on appetizers.
Right.
They're now cold, but that's okay.
There's going to be lights. There's going to be pyro. You're going to talk about how quickly they get up on that stage and then get everything all dismantled after it's all done. And
that is something to witness. Yeah. I will say that. That 100%. Was more intriguing to me about the halftime shows, how quickly they assemble the stage and disassemble it, because from our perspective, we realize this is one commercial break.
Right.
It's not good for the players. It's a longer halftime than normal.
Getting all cramped up.
Yeah, I mean, you're making those guys wait. It's almost like they're starting a new game over.
And for nothing.
Right.
That's the problem, for nothing. Other than the high-level people that have paid way too doggone much to be there, does any football fan in there truly care that the weekend is going to be down there on stage? I mean, again, it's cool. I mean,
but no,
that's fun. But,
you know, you're playing a night game, and no football player on a Saturday night can't go to sleep. Just because I can't go to sleep. You know? But on the Super Bowl, on Saturday night, you might not be able to get to sleep.
No.
Or you're going to get up at 4:30 like, I'm ready. Then you wait around all day.
All day.
You know what I mean? And then halftime comes around and you wait another day.
Exactly. Exactly. Again, big news earlier this week, and it just kind of keeps coming back just because you kind of have to let this thing go in waves. Obviously, Alex Trebek, the very, very sad passing that we experienced here not too long ago. So more and more stuff is coming about him. What is one massive thing, other than the fact that he hosted Jeopardy for, 36 years.
Probably. Yeah.
What other feature do you know of Alex Trebek that was absolutely iconic for
his
a while there?
Oh,
his
mustache.
100%.
No,
the mustache that he shaved back in 2001, and everybody completely lost their minds about it. But this mustache has even more significance in his life because did you know that Alex Trebek's famed mustache actually once cost him his sportscasting job?
What?
What, he was going to get a job as a sportscaster, but they said shave the stash, and he said no?
So long before Jeopardy, Trebek was on a short list of candidates to host Hockey Night in Canada for the CBC back in 1971, where he was already working at the time.
Okay.
You know, a lot of people forget that he's a native Canadian. One executive was convinced that Trebek, a native Ottawan, who had hosted game shows and called live events such as horse racing and figure skating... Thank you, Miles. ...was the right man to take over amid a shakeup in on-air talent. But his boss overruled the story, saying... because he didn't dig Trebek's mustache.
That's it.
Catan Cherry up there wearing freaking sequins. I mean, come on.
I'd be pissed. Wait a minute. I lost the job because you don't like something that is very much removable on my person?
But, you know, Alex Trebek, the way he was, I imagine when it was brought up to him, he was like, F him. Like, I'm not shaving my mustache for the gig.
Have you guys seen, by chance, the Jeopardy outtakes that have been making the rounds on Twitter?
Yeah, it makes me appreciate and miss Alex Trebek.
Absolutely.
He could have been working by Don Cherry. I wonder if Don Cherry and Don Lemon are related, like in a vegetable fruit kind of way.
Oh, you're from the fruit side.
Oh, yeah, we're all good.
Daryl Strawberry?
Sure.
Yeah, related to him as well.
Oh, mercy.
And Peter Banana.
Yeah.
Peter Banana. I like it. Well, gentlemen, I've said it once before, but the season is upon us, and I know that everybody's very, very happy about the upcoming holiday season that we are all in. No, I'm not talking about Thanksgiving on this one. I'm talking about Christmas, everybody's favorite holiday season. Either you love Christmas or you absolutely loathe Christmas.
I'm torn. Like, I truly enjoy the day. I enjoy the spirit and the camaraderie that seems to come with it, you know, as people reflect on the year that was, whatever the year. But I seriously hate Christmas music. I mean, I can't even explain how much I hate Christmas music. And it is impossible to just have a Christmas day or season without that garbage being spewed everywhere.
Everywhere.
I mean, I hate Christmas music. I'd rather listen to the freaking Weekend doing a Super Bowl halftime show than listen to Christmas
music. And I think that's probably the problem, is that you can never truly escape it. No matter what you're
you
doing,
can't.
There's already those little borderlines of all the snow and the pine and the snowflakes and Rudolph's just out of nowhere right there on your TV. Every time you go shopping, does not matter the grocery store, the convenience store that you go into, they are
everywhere.
Playing Christmas music.
All I would say is this, if it was so good, why don't you play it year-round?
Right.
That is my entire case.
We just want to be happy. But one other thing that does come with the Christmas spirit is not only the Christmas music, but it is time to start showing everybody's favorite Christmas movies. Now, we know Hallmark has already been going since April.
Yeah.
But
with the way we're headed right now, you might not be traveling to see family.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You might be doing all those things. So there's a very good possibility, the way things are going right now, that you're going to be at home and you want to be festive. You might as well just watch Christmas music.
Right.
Turn on the movie, turn on the music.
You're
whatever,
in for the long haul, so let's be happy.
You might not be
months.
Taking a road trip.
Me and
that's
Ryan
exactly
Castle
right.
watched Bad Santa with my son when he was 3.
Mm. Does it hold up?
Yes.
It's hilarious. I will say this, when my wife and his wife came down to the basement, we were watching it, we flipped channels. But otherwise, we got at least 80% through the movie. He thought it was hilarious.
I still have not seen Bad Santa.
I need to watch
Bad Santa.
The movie is hilarious.
In the worst possible way, that's one of the best Christmas movies.
Thing is, there's a lot of really, really good Christmas movies that I do enjoy, and what's great about the Christmas season is that you can find them all somewhere on TV.
That's true.
You know, you don't
starting
have to
about
own
now.
These movies. Right, they're all going to start showing up. So USA Today actually put together a list of the 20 best Christmas movies of all time. Just run through them
I'll
here
tell
real quick.
You where they're wrong.
Okay, Arthur Christmas at number 20.
Nope.
Arthur Christmas?
It was released back in 2011. No, I'm thinking Fred Claus is the one that was Santa's brother. Arthur Christmas, I don't know that I've heard
I
that
I think
one.
It's probably the movie Arthur. The Moon in New York City. Dudley Moore is what I'm guessing.
Gotcha. Okay.
Either that or the cartoon.
Or it's animated.
Yeah, right.
Number 19, Home Alone.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm a fan.
Yeah.
I used to watch that routinely when I was a kid. It didn't have to be Christmas.
Not even debatable.
Fine. My kids love it. It's good.
Great flick.
Not debatable.
Still holds up. The Ice Harvest in 2005 was number 18. I don't know that I've heard of that one.
I don't know.
The Bishop's Wife at number 17.
Ooh, yeah, the Bishop. I watched that.
Never seen it, but I like it.
Bishop's Wife.
I don't know, guys. It's from 1947, so this is going to be a dated movie.
Bet you had those rocket boots.
Oh, yeah. Bishop's Wife.
Jubilees.
See, and this is where I get off the train. Number 16, The Nightmare Before Christmas in 1993.
Oh, I'll take it.
I don't like it.
I'm not that big of a fan of the movie. I know that's kind of blasphemy
around here. You've seen them all.
That's exactly right. And
ooh, spooky.
But at
Christmas,
a cult classic.
I appreciate it.
Okay. Right.
All right.
To me, I prefer to watch that during Halloween. This is for people that absolutely love Halloween.
It's The Nightmare Before Christmas, Mike.
Right. This is for people that love Halloween, that don't want to let it go throughout the Christmas season so they can have their window of the Christmas season and power to them.
When they start doing all the Christmas decorations before Halloween even gets here, it's a fair trade.
That's absolutely fair. You're absolutely right. Number 15, Lethal Weapon.
Yes.
Lethal Weapon.
Yeah.
Took
place at Christmas.
Is that a Christmas movie?
They're saying, they actually put on here, quote, hey, if Die Hard counts.
Okay. Right. Hey, I know.
I
don't remember
Joy,
Christmas.
Joyeux Noël in 2005, number 14.
I was going to say, no, I don't like it.
Gotta be a French flick.
Never heard of it.
White Christmas at number 13, 1954.
No way, man.
Yeah, I'm saying no. The hell is that movie about?
You can't hire one black guy to play any part.
It's about Tulsa.
Another one that I still haven't seen in its entirety, number 12.
Jesus.
I'm going to just skip right over what the hell you guys just said. Number 12, Gremlins in 1984.
Yeah.
You know what?
Yeah. Yep.
I still haven't seen that one in its entirety.
It's
I still don't see when they become the really, really mean gremlins.
It's explained at the beginning, but the kid didn't follow directions. It's like putting together something from IKEA. Follow the damn directions.
Those are vague directions, though, is the problem.
Don't get it wet after midnight, homie.
When does it go from after midnight to before midnight?
See, if you were there, you could have asked that.
Right. Now, wait a minute.
Because once it's after midnight, it's after midnight the rest of the day.
Can you not get them wet after midnight, or can they not eat after midnight?
Oh, crap.
I think it's that you can't get them wet and that you can't feed them after midnight.
I better stop looking so sexy.
Moving on! Damn it!
I swear.
Number 11 from 1940, The Shop Around the Corner. Again, another one I haven't heard of.
I don't know about it.
Okay, we're down to the top 10 here. A Christmas Story.
People like it. It's not my
favorite. Which one is that?
Is that the one where...
Is that Ralphie?
I think so.
Yeah, I'll give it that. I mean, it's easy enough.
So these are the top 20 Christmas movies of all time. Number 9, A Christmas Carol. I think that's Scrooge and all that goes on.
Yep.
So it's a classic story. I don't mind the story.
Begrudgingly ding it.
Okay. It's
like
a classic.
A good black and white. There you go.
Number 8, The Apartment from 1960. I've never heard of that one.
I don't know.
Shit.
Who wants to have Christmas in an apartment?
It puts its qualifier out here for number 7. It says, don't even start. It counts. Number 7 is Die Hard.
Yes, it is.
All right.
Good flick.
I don't even know if it's a good flick, but everyone has a good memory. It's like a Twinkie, you know.
I certainly don't mind it being around at Christmas time.
Sure.
I will say that. Number 6, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Oh, hell yeah. That's a great one. I still want to get one of those Bullwinkle mugs. Those cups that he's drinking noggin the entire time, those things are great.
It's Wally World.
I love it.
These are the top Christmas movies of all time. Number 5, Miracle on 34th Street from 1947. I still haven't seen this one.
It's been around for a long time for reasons.
I'm going to ding it because it is a classic, my opinion.
Okay.
Yeah.
The problem is that with these black and white movies, you have to watch them when you're a kid. Otherwise, you never will.
They're horrible, right?
Exactly. Because there's another black and white one in here that I watched when I was a kid. And, this is a great movie. Well, I got a feeling that if I watched it now.
You'd hate it.
I'm so jaded, right. I'm not going to watch it. Number 4, Love Actually. This is my lady's absolutely favorite movie from the Christmas time from 2003.
Yeah. Now.
Come on, man.
It's
Liam Neeson
used to make a rom-com, just focus it around Christmas and then call it a Christmas movie. Right?
Exactly. Where's Hugh Grant?
Didn't he do a Christmas movie?
Maybe. I'm glad
he's
not on the list.
I'm sure he has.
Just it's the same crap.
These are the top Christmas movies of all time. Number 3, Will Ferrell's Elf.
Yeah. All right.
From 2003. All right. Any guesses on the top two, gentlemen?
You already got Home Alone and Christmas Story. Right. Oh, God.
Hang on. What are you thinking?
I'm thinking.
Is it A Wonderful Life?
I think they're going to put that on there because it's very Rolling
Stones. From 1946, It's A Wonderful Life at number 2.
Come on.
And this is the number 1, the top Christmas movie of all time.
Bad Santa.
Bad Santa. Mr. Hill, any final guesses?
It should be Bad Santa.
It's the Bill Murray Christmas movie. Actually, it's the Murray Brothers Christmas
Scrooge.
Movie.
Scrooge.
All right. Number 1.
All right. All right. Thank you, Mike. We appreciate it. You are listening to The Men's Room.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
The Men's Room returns with Miles and Thrill. Now, let's see what's happening in the real world.
All right, here we go. Barra, California has been relocated after continuing to sneak into a convenience store to eat their snacks. Why did doctors treating a hit-and-run victim find a cell phone in his butt? I have to ask. Egyptian fisherman is recovering after a fish tried to swim down his throat. Man who proposed to girlfriend with a ring stuck in a Big Mac. He is, my status is goat. And Bugs Bunny, Captain Hook, and Buzz Lightyear all asked to come before a judge. And it's time for your headlines.
Now, it's time to hit the head. Lines. Here's my car.
All right, top story. Mickey Mouse is apparently doing court. Literally. Officials in Staffordshire, England are blaming testing errors on the fact that not only Mickey Mouse, but a whole list of cartoon characters were apparently doing court for hearings. The initial list of those due in court had the mistaken addition of Bugs Bunny, Daffy Duck, Roadrunner, Buzz Lightyear, Tinkerbell, Captain Hook, and Sleeping Beauty.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
They were just testing it out. I think they just
they
needed
just
to
put
have names.
Phony names in there so they could figure out if the program worked or not. But I guess they stayed in the system so that when they did the random generator, all
I'd hate Disney with contempt of court. Like, none of them showed up. And we're pretty sure the Tinkerbell's a drug mule.
Oh, damn. You know, she got that dust.
She does. Right?
Makes you have
she
to
showed up and I flew, man.
Just thinking happy thoughts. Amazon shoppers in Detroit are now having a better understanding of why their packages were a little delayed. While out making his deliveries, an Amazon driver found himself on a local golf course to deliver some parcels. The driver blames his GPS for giving him bad directions as the excuse for why his van ended up stuck inside of a tunnel. The van made it about 6 feet into the tunnel that goes under a portion of the course before the taller back end of the van managed to wedge itself stuck. A tow truck was called and a replacement van was brought to take all the rest of the packages and continue the delivery.
Hmm. Yeah, I guess it doesn't tell you the height of tunnels.
Right.
Right, yeah.
And he had obviously never been on this golf course before with his van.
You can eyeball that.
That's fair.
You can eyeball that. That's I did it once in a parking garage. Just missed. You can eyeball them.
Back to the TikToks where a proposal is causing mixed reviews in the comment section. The one-minute video shows the proposer setting up his presentation in the local McDonald's. The man opens up a container to a delicious Big Mac and presses the ring right into the top bun before handing it over to his hopeful future fiance. The comments were split down the middle with some congratulating the man on summoning the courage to ask, while others made comments such as, quote, "This is how my ex-boyfriend proposes to me."
Jesus.
Luckily for him, it was good enough for her, and she said yes.
Then why does anyone care?
Right.
It's not about you.
Right. Well, I'm glad that I didn't propose to you then.
Exactly.
I mean, I understand. I kind of understand the not in McDonald's comments that got in there.
I get it, but in the end, obviously he knows we're on some level where that's okay.
And also, to be fair, it's supposed to be shock value, and if it happens at McDonald's, I'm shocked. This is it for your headlines with that. Mike Hawk is out.
Thank you, Michael. Appreciate it. We'll see you for the weekend and the return of Ted versus the FCC. Yes, indeed, it's all true, but in the meantime, we be all about this bitch. So until next time, please do what you do best, and for Aletha's sake, stay beautiful.
This room has been taped before a live studio audience. Wardrobe and makeup provided by Mantastic Limited. This has been a presentation of the Men's Room Radio Network.
Oh, man!
A Double Flush production.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.